I want to welcome Agile XRM to the podcast. I've known the people at Agile XRM for the past 12 years. I've seen how their business process management tool can add massive value to complex organizational processes in sectors such as finance and government. If you have complex processes or a need for dialogues on the Power Platform or Dynamics 365, take a look at how this BPM tool can add value. You can find them at agilexrm.com or check out the show notes for more details. Welcome to the MVP Show. Before we chat with today's guest, there's a quick message from our sponsor. Today's show is brought to you by the 90-Day Mentoring Challenge. It's amazing what can change in 90 days and the impact it can have on your career. I've seen it hundreds of times now on people that have been through the 90-Day Mentoring Challenge. Doesn't matter where you are in the world, you can get involved. There is no cost. Just go to nz365guy.com/mentoring and see if it's something that you want to do in the upcoming year. And with that, let's get on with the show. Today's guest is from Ohio in the US of A. He's a Microsoft Power Apps consultant. He received his first MVP award in February this year, so nice and new. He loves building and working with his hands as much as he loves working with code. He spends his free time hiking and doing outdoor activities with family and practicing martial arts. He's a pro developer who's been working with Dynamics since Dynamics 3.0, so quite a while. He started his career in IT as a business analyst, project manager, and over the years became more technology-focused, moving first into roles in SharePoint developer and then Dynamics in the Power Platform. His client's focus has mainly been on the US government, and he primarily works within the GCC cloud space, which adds additional challenges when architecting solutions. You can check him out on Twitter at PowerAppsRaw or his blog, which is PowerAppsRaw.com. Richard Wilson, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Yeah, great to have you on. The GCC cloud, what does GCC stand for? I know it's government.
Government cloud. It's Microsoft's. Basically, for the U.S. government, they have different versions of it. So, it's a difficult space to work in sometimes, but it's getting better and better every day.
So, it has constraints.
Yeah, but those constraints are getting less and less. So Microsoft's doing a much better job getting their cadence going. So it's about a six month difference between commercial and GCC now.
Gotcha. So tell us a bit about you, family, food, and fun. Well, you know, when you're not working, obviously the martial arts, the hiking, what else do you do with your family?
Yeah, I mean, you know, with everything that was going on the past year and a half, a lot of that was, we really tried to go out and explore as many parks as we could. We're blessed with lots of land out here. Lots of parks that have over, 600-700 acres, lots of trails. So really just trying to get back to nature, that was a big part of the last year and a half and doing that. So, getting the kids to, go creeking all the time, catch crawfish, just kind of getting back to basics. Plus when you're in the woods, you're social distancing. So,
so true, right? So true. I always like to know what's the food, that you eat in your locale. Like what's that favorite dish that kind of stands out for you?
Honestly, my wife and I lived in the Northern Virginia area for about 10 years. And before moving back to Ohio, we both grew up here in Ohio and moved back. There was a lot of food stuff we found there that we've just been trying to find back here in Columbus. There's not as many choices. So recently we just rediscovered a couple Korean restaurants here in Columbus. So we got some bulgogi and, a little bit of soju. So some good stuff.
Nice. Very cool. So tell us about your story, from your education days through to how did you get into tech? What was that journey for you? It's obviously, I take it was Dynamics CRM 3.0 that you were, was it Microsoft yeah. CRM or did they already change it to Dynamics then?
I think it was still just CRM at that point. So yeah, 3.0. Yeah, I went to school for computer information sciences. So I think a lot of times I don't feel like a full developer because I don't have computer science on my thing. I got started at Nextel. If you remember that little chirp chirp they always had, got started doing business analysis there. Got moved into project management. Ended up getting my PMP certification. Had that for a while, but really just kept finding myself wanting to do systems analysis more than the requirements analysis, and then wanting to get into the development. So I really started hanging out with the developers more, getting into that. Moved on to a job where I started doing SharePoint. Worked for a couple companies that did a lot of governance with SharePoint, surrounding SharePoint. Really getting tagging and metadata and helping people make it not just a dumping ground for their documents, you know, but making it usable. Got into building web parts and, you know, learning C# more. And then one day I was at a SharePoint company I was working for, and they decided to start up a Dynamics practice. And the practice manager just turned to me, said, "Rick, you're my guy. You're gonna help me do this." So that was it. You know, I got hooked immediately. You know, we were doing a lot of pre-sales, starting up a new practice. So, a lot of it was, I saw it as the low code evolution then, you know. I looked at this thing, I'm like, I can add these fields, build these interfaces, build these views, and not have to write a bit of code until, you know, occasionally having to write some web resources, right? I thought it was the start of the low code, you know, revolution.
Well, I think it was, right? It just, nobody really defined it as such back then.
Yeah. So I kept doing that, moved into pro code, you know, doing plugins, all that other stuff. It's been just kind of kept with the pro code stuff now.
Wow. And so what are you doing now? You know, well, one thing I noticed, a lot of Dynamics 365 folks that have come from a deep history in Dynamics have in a way struggled switching their mind to the Power Platform. In other words, you know, I see this kind of, if they're going to build or architect a new solution from scratch, they're making decisions like, okay, am I going to use Dynamics 365 sales, or am I going to use Dynamics 365 customer service as my base? And I'm like, hang on a second, why aren't you just starting at, you know, the Power Platform, at, you know, the Dataverse, and building from there? Like, don't take a dependency on any of those Dynamics apps if you don't need them. How have you found that transition from mindset of Dynamics 365 to just starting with a clean, you know, Power Platform environment?
You know, honestly, with most of the solutions I've built in government, most of them don't usually start with that anyway. You know, you're not starting with sales. Customer engagement, you might, just because queues and help desk stuff like that is a common scenario. But for the most part, what I've built is custom applications. So I've usually started with custom entities and kind of gone that route anyway. The one ISV I worked for, Permuta, we had over 1,200 entities in our solution at one time. Microsoft would occasionally call us up and ask for copies of our solution just because they'd use it as a test bed for trying out large solutions, you know, figuring out if the imports would work, things like that. Some of that testing. I usually don't even start with a base. So for me, it hasn't really been too much of a problem.
Mm-hmm. It's funny you say entities there, and it's one of the words I wish they'd kept rather than going to tables, you know, because an entity explains so much more than just a table, I feel. And an entity you can relate to, you know, a real physical world. But a table is kind of sterile, I feel, in describing what it is.
Well, and it always makes me think about Microsoft Access too, when they say tables, and that's the last thing I want to work on. So,
so true. So you talked about the nuances working in you know, the government cloud, and I know more and more countries are having rolled out a government cloud. I know in Australia there's the government cloud solution there, which is for non-classified content, what, you know, tell us about the ease of use, access, that type of thing of working in the GCC.
Actually, it's gotten a lot easier over the past 2 years, just with everything going on. A lot of it really is getting the organizations who are using it to open up their authentication mechanisms to the outside, you know, to allow their ADFS and things like that to basically allow you to connect remotely. It's gotten a lot better. I really, a lot more work from home is available now through it. And I see government using the Microsoft solutions in general, not just Power Platform, but Azure and everything else to really just make that work from home capability available to people. It's been really great to see over the last 2 years. If anything good can come out of all this, right?
Yeah. So true. It's definitely changed the way we've worked, right? With the whole government cloud environment, what's the type of use cases that you're seeing built on there? Is it mainly like tasking or, as you talked about before, queuing, task activities, cases, lifecycle management? Is that the main type of solutions you're building? Or are you being more creative in the whole Power App side of things?
It's kind of all over the board. I mean, there's scheduling's a big one. There's always a lot of scheduling going on. Finance, things within the finance areas that happen in government. There's a lot of, obviously rules and regulations around that. In fact, I think people in the finance industry who work with Power Platform in finance could probably draw a lot of parallels to what we have to deal with, in government and stuff like that, with all the regulation and the red tape that comes along with that and everything, getting things approved. There was even things, again, with COVID and everything, just getting solutions built up. Everybody was trying to figure out where their people were and what they're doing every day, if they're in the office, not in the office. So a lot of that stuff going too. It's been a little harder to use Canvas apps at a lot of the government places, government institutions, just because of the licensing they currently have. A lot of them are really still on the older team licenses. So, which was a really good deal back then, but limited you to really just using Dataverse model apps. But as these places start buying the new licensing, you're going to see more of that. One of the ways I've gotten around that a lot is just embedded Canvas apps. In fact, that whole idea of just bringing model and Canvas together, I think is just like, is so important in the future for so many reasons. I think for marketing, it's going to allow Microsoft to finally have a better marketing pitch for everything, instead of having to explain, here's Dataverse, here's Power Apps, here's Dynamics, right? I think you bringing that together, I think the model, the new app designer is really intriguing for me, custom pages, things like that. I've really been trying to use those embedded Canvas apps to kind of bring the Power App stuff into what I'm able to do right now.
Yeah. In the government side of things, do you come across Lotus Notes much?
I used to. Definitely. I mean, the one company I was with, we had built a solution to generate, to pre-populate Lotus Notes documents and things like that. Really don't see it much anymore though.
Interesting. Cause in Australia, I was still seeing it, and, I feel like I'm coming up on a project shortly that's going to be involving a lot of Lotus Notes, and I'm just like, interesting times.
Have fun with that.
Yeah, totally. Tell us about your journey to becoming an MVP. How'd that come about?
I've been blogging for years, since probably like 2009. I started blogging just for myself. I have a problem and just want to actually remember a year down the road what the solution was. So I just started blogging by myself. And then about 3 years ago, I started working at Accenture. My manager there was Phil Topness, who's on the Microsoft PowerCat team.
Totally. No, Phil. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a great guy. Uh, he, he kind of pushed me, you know, to just put myself out there more. He and I, we did a session over at a Dynamic Saturday in DC, called AI Builder Built Before Your Eyes. And we basically just went through all the different, the four AI builders that were available at the time, just went through and did a demo of, you know, utilizing every one within an hour, you know, within our time. And it was great. You know, Phil has a good sense of humor. So he was, not at all objectioned, or did not object to my, my fictitious company, which I created called Whoopi Inc. We sold Whoopi cushions, rubber chickens and snakes in a can. Yeah, we wore clown wigs during the presentation and, handed out a bunch of Whoopi cushions. So it was a lot of fun. But yeah, so just started getting out there more, blogging more, just started up a YouTube channel, recently. And, but the big thing I did, you know, PCF controls were really just kind of coming about, over the last 2 years. And having written so many web resources, in the past, I looked at this as just like, this is awesome, right? I can build controls quickly that are really integrated, you know, into the system. Using the Fluent UI was great because they were almost styled already for me, you know, since the UCI already uses that. So that was really beneficial to like speed up development. And I really enjoyed doing that. So I did a lot of that for the community, just put out a whole lot of PCF controls, worked with, Guido, Prady on the PCF gallery to get all those published. And, even got one of them into the, COE starter kit.
Wow. What one?
It was actually just one of the first ones I wrote, which was just a color picker. And it's actually in the theming area of the COE starter kit. So that was kind of cool to see my name down in the credits there.
Yeah. But, awesome.
Yeah. And, did a lot with that, especially, you know, during the preview. Hermont Gar was great about posting on the community channels and things. So that was great. And, yeah. So
who nominated you?
Phil did.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice. You can't beat being nominated by an FTE, right?
Yep. Yeah. That was before he started there. So,
is that right?
Started, yeah. So,
no, very good.
Yeah.
What impact has it had on your career? As in, you know, I know it's early days, you're a few months in, but are you noticing any difference?
You know, I mean, I definitely noticed more people reaching out to me, obviously LinkedIn, Twitter, things like that. You know, sometimes in meetings, they will throw it back at me and just say, "Hey, Mr. MVP, what's the answer to that?" So that's always fun. You know, overall though, yeah, I mean, I think in the end, it'll be really good for my career and it's fun. You know, I mean, it's great getting to see some of the preview stuff, you know. I think that's enjoyable, although it's really hard not to talk about, you know, once you've seen it. So, you know, that you got to keep all the excitement bottled up.
Totally.
But, yeah, it's just fun meeting other MVPs, you know, getting to know them and, getting help when you need it too.
Mm-hmm. So what's top of mind for you these days? What are you focusing on in the coming months, kind of from a developing skill set, that type of thing?
One of the things, I've started to get into IoT. I just built out, I love the old 1960s Batman. And I've always wanted my own bat phone. So I decided to build one. Just got a Raspberry Pi, did a little antiquing to go find an old phone, kind of put all that stuff together and been using the Azure IoT services to kind of get that going. It was pretty cool. It's just so easy to get that going with Power Automate. So I have a little Power Automate whenever I get tweeted at and things like that, it'll ring my phone in my office. So that's it. You know, that kind of stuff's exciting. And I'm always just looking to find all the surrounding technologies with Power Platform, you know, and every time I see something being integrated in that's new, I think that kind of spurs me on to want to go out and check that out.
I like it. Yeah. So good. Have you done anything in the IoT side with home automation or anything like that?
You know, nothing with the Azure IoT side. I mean, you know, personally, I use a lot of stuff. I use a lot of like Ring cameras and stuff like that, but nothing too much with, you know, with the Azure side yet. Working on it.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, our time is almost up, and I always like to wrap these sessions up with a few quick fire questions.
Mm-hmm. Go for it.
Okay. Okay. Here's the first one. What's the first music you ever bought?
Weird Al Yankovic.
No way.
Dare to be Stupid. Well, it was the first CD I ever bought. So
Yeah. Man, it's a long time since I've heard that guy's name. What's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you on a date?
Oof. I don't know how embarrassing. I definitely got lost. My wife and I remember getting lost on the way to a wedding. And instead of being embarrassed, I sucked it up and I went inside a gas station and actually asked for directions. So
classic. What are you most looking forward to in the next 10 years?
I don't know about the next 10 years, but over the next year, I'm excited to start traveling more again. My family and I are planning a trip to, Stuttgart, Germany here next year, and, England and a couple other places. So excited to travel.
Why
again.
Stuttgart out of all the places you go, Germany? What's your rationale there?
My sister's stationed over there right now.
So gotcha.
Get some family time in and get the kids to see Europe for the first time. Should be fun.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's come up twice this week on podcasts, specifically people going to Stuttgart, and it was around the military and both, as I take it, your sister's in the military?
Yeah, she is. She's Air Force.
Yeah. So, interesting. I didn't realize that. I take it the U.S. has a base there or something.
They do. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Awesome. Well, good luck with that. And hey, thanks for coming on the show. And I look forward to hopefully one day when we get back to in person, seeing you at an MVP summit.
That'd be awesome. I'd love it. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Hey, thanks for listening. I'm your host, business application MVP, Mark Smith, otherwise known as the NZ365 guy. If you'd like to leave a review for the podcast, please go to nz365guy.com/review and leave your feedback. I'd love to hear it, love to see it. It always inspires me to keep doing this. Well, so stay safe out there and see you next time. Before you go, a quick reminder that the 90-Day Mentoring Challenge kicks off on the 1st of April. Every cohort, I hear people say that surely this group has been the best one ever. The true magic of the 90-Day Mentoring Challenge is the connections formed between a group of people who are committed to learning with and from each other. Will you be part of the best cohort yet? Use the code PODCAST for 10% off at checkout. Visit ako.nz365guy.com to see a detailed curriculum and hear what past participants have to say about the challenge. I can't wait to help you discover the unique value you bring to the community and just how far you can take your career.